ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to The Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
Again, when I talked about this years ago, people laughed. But it's coming. Those who, like Prince Charles, he said, in order to secure our future and to prosper, we need to evolve our economic model and put people and planet at the heart of global creation. And if there is one critical lesson to learn from this crisis, it is that we need to put nature at the heart of how we operate. Yeah, that's what we talked about. His father is even more blunt. He's advocated killing large numbers of people. He said, in the event that I'm reincarnated, I would like to return as a deadly virus to contribute something to solving overpopulation. Are you kidding me? You just scratch your head at that stuff. You go, why would you? You could think it all you want, but would you actually say it? Prince Charles' father. So that we're talking years ago. So this is the idea. Obviously, the population is too much. We have leaders who have said that we got to bring the world population down. Some feel to down to, like, I think it was 500,000 people. We're at 8 billion. Can you imagine? How are they going to control what we do and how much of the things we're using? They're going to control us by all the devices we have. Personal carbon allowance. How far did you drive today? How much carbon emissions did you emit? What about cows? Do you have any cows in your barn? Because we could charge you for that. Isn't it interesting how they want to control, again, every aspect of your life? And what happens to farmers? You eliminate your local farmers and you have big business producing everything. It is interesting. And this isn't a game. It's not some kind of conspiracy theory. It's not fake news. And it's not because I've said it or the articles I've read. It's the Bible's told us. You know, you can look at Daniel chapter 2 and the gold, the image, multi-metallic image that King Nebuchadnezzar saw. The head of gold, the Babylonian Empire, chest and arms of silver, the Medo-Persian Empire, the thighs of bronze, the Grecian, legs of iron, the Roman Empire, and then the feet and the 10 toes of clay, iron mixed with clay, revived Roman Empire, which we see coming together today. And I've shared with you this before, but you can go check this out. Back in 1968, the Club of Rome had its beginnings and had leaders from 10 different countries gathering together. And they gathered together for solutions to the world's problems. And their claim was that they had the answers for peace and prosperity for the world. Oh, great. What is it? Well, back on September 17th, 1973, the Club of Rome released this report, a regionalized and adaptive model of the global world system. And this is what it looks like, divided up into 10 kingdoms. And if you look at how North America is divided up, you've got Canada, the United States, and Mexico. It's the free trade agreements that we've made. The world's divided up. This is the revived Roman Empire. This is the 10 toes of Daniel chapter 2. And very interesting when you go back and you listen to what world leaders have said. Henry Kissinger said this back on July 18th, 1993. And he said, what Congress will have before it is not a conventional trade agreement, but the architecture of a new international system, a first step toward a new what? World order. That was in 1993. This was the first step. This is the beginnings of what they want to do. That phrase, new world order, is speaking of a one world government. People from, we've got a world government summit, and it's coming together before our eyes. And I'll just share some things that world leaders again have said. This is David Rockefeller. He said, "We are on the verge of a global transformation. All we need is the right major crisis, and the nations will accept the new world order." Isn't that fascinating? A crisis. Could it be like COVID? Yeah, it could be. It could be anything. Could it be like the World Trade Towers being, you know, hit with airplanes and come tumbling to the ground? Yes. President Bush enacted the American Patriot Act, where he had all kinds of laws put in that most of them are still in play today. Didn't go against our freedom. Our current president, Joe Biden, 1992, "How I Learned to Love What? The New World Order." You see, these guys are just primed for this. They got the right people in place. And we're moving very quickly towards a one-world government. And again, it's not because these leaders are trying to do it. This is what God has said is going to happen. And he will use these leaders to put this stuff together. And that's exactly what we see happening. And again, many don't want to see this happen. Many are going to try and fight against it. But Richard Gardner, who was the top advisor to President Jimmy Carter and ambassador to Italy, said this back in April 1974, in an issue of the Council on Foreign Relations. Listen to what he said. He said, "The House of World Order will have to be built from the bottom up rather than from the top down. An end run around national sovereignty, eroding it piece by piece, will accomplish more than the old-fashioned frontal assault." Wow. Isn't that interesting? Now it's a frontal assault. Back then, they're trying to erode away our sovereignty, destroy our Constitution by ignoring it. But now they don't have to do that anymore. Now it's in your face. This is what we're doing in you. If you don't like it, tough. I'm going to New York to fly out to Russia, hopefully in a few weeks here. But my flight back from Russia was canceled, so the only flight they had would have got me back in New York at like 5:20, and my flight to go next to Detroit before I came back to Wisconsin was at 5:30. Well, I'm at JFK. There is no way I'm going to have 10 minutes to get off the plane and make it to the next plane. So I'm thinking, what if I have to stay in New York? I'm thinking, well, it's a good thing I got the vaccination because I wouldn't be allowed to. Is that crazy? You couldn't even stay in a hotel. Let me see your ID card. Really? Yeah, that's how bad it is. This is from James Warburg. He was a member of the Council of Foreign Relations, and he said this back on the Council on Foreign Relations was formed on July 29th, 1921. He said this on February 17th, 1950, and he said it before the Senate Foreign Relations Committee. "We shall have world government whether you or not you like it, by conquest or consent. You either consent to it, or we're going to take over. You don't have a choice." I find that interesting. It's going to happen. This has been going on for a long time. But understand this. God already told us this was going to happen. These guys think they're so big and so smart. They're not. They need Jesus really bad, don't they? What we're going to see next is one world religion. And it's interesting to me because in the tribulation period, we see the false prophet who leads the world in this one world religion is going to put the Antichrist into power over this global government. And it's very evil, make no mistake about it. Very evil. And here's the thing. We've moved away from the truths of God found in the Word of God, and the church has adopted a lot of worldly ideas. What do I mean by that? I mean this. Social justice. This is something the church has jumped on this bandwagon. And they support Black Lives Matter, Antifa, which are Marxist organizations. And people see social justice as a good thing. Well, don't we want social justice? Let me ask you this. Don't we have justice? Yes. So what do you mean by social justice? Have you ever asked anyone that? What do you mean by social justice? Because we have justice. We have a law. Merriam-Webster defined justice like this. "It's the impartial administration and maintenance of what is just. It involves righteousness, fairness, impartiality, and moral rightness. Yeah, that's what God calls us to do. We see it in many places in the scripture. Isaiah 1:17, Proverbs 31, 8 and 9, Exodus 23, 1 through 9, and so on. What about social justice then? That's justice. What is social justice? Social justice is this. Is justice in terms of the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. This itineration of justice is not commanded in the scriptures. Absolutely. Justice pursues what is right according to an absolute, impartial standard. Social justice pursues what is believed to be lacking for some based on what is believed to be possessed by others. Oh, you have a nice car? Look at my car. It's crummy. Give me your car. I deserve it. No, I don't. I didn't work for it. Justice is driven by what is morally acceptable or what God says is right. Social justice is driven by what is socially acceptable or what the people say is right. Justice is objective. Social justice is subjective. Justice involves matters that can potentially impact anyone. Social justice involves matters that are believed to only impact specific groups. Absolutely. We saw that this past year. White privilege. Well, I don't know, man. I didn't do it right. If I had privileges as a white person, I did something wrong. Because I had to work really hard. I started work when I was 15 years old. And I've worked ever since. I don't know if that's a privilege. It's an, hey, I'm thankful. But see, they want what you have and they don't want to work for it. That's not how it goes. But that's social justice. This is from the Christian Reformed Church website. And this is what they said about social justice. The Office of Social Justice works to develop a deeper understanding of and response to God's call to let justice flow like a river in both our personal and communal lives, as well as in the structures of our societies. Now, it sounds good, again. But when you understand what social justice is all about, man, that's dangerous. And once you open that door, try closing it. You're not going to be able to. And has it permeated many churches? Yeah. National United Methodist Church homepage, they proclaim, at National UMC, we are passionate about social justice. And they have this over an image of a clear blue sky with LGBTQ flag waving in the background. Yeah, okay, well, now I understand. We don't think we know what it means. That's the problem. It sounds good, but it's not. Here's the thing, and we have to be really careful that we're not deceived because there are wolves among the sheep. And they blend in. They don't, you know, have big signs going, I'm a wolf. No, they say things and they come in and they bring their false teaching into the church, where the church can be deceived and ends up being, the church becomes more apostate. Christianity Today, a kind of a social Christian magazine, said this, it's a tired image that evangelicals only recently began caring about social justice, a buzzword that carries connotations of political activism and the social gospel. In fact, Orthodox Christians have long recognized in Scripture a call to defend and uphold the dignity and well-being of all persons, especially the poor and powerless. Take, for example, John Wesley, who led prison reform and abolitionist movements in 18th century England. Well, okay, that's really great, but that's not what social justice is about. That's what justice is. Social justice is, I don't have because I'm too lazy to work, want what you have, so give it to me. That's not justice. That's social justice. And yet they're making that word say what it's not. Not at all. Maybe you kind of heard this phrase before. Christianity must adapt or die. And that's a big thing. You know, how are we going to reach people if we, you know, continue just teaching the Bible? We got to get, you know, the worship. We got to get the lights and the smoke machine and Lawrence Welk, start the bubble machine, right? I'm kind of aging myself here, but I did watch Lawrence Welk as a kid. Some of you are too young. You have no idea who Lawrence Welk is and the bubble machine, but they had a bubble machine, right, guys?
Yeah.
Thank you very much. I needed that. Yep, very good. But again, they want the church to be relevant in its culture. Well, Paul said, I became all things to all people. Why? To bring the gospel message to them. But what happens is they've watered down the gospel message so they make so people come in and they're not offended. Here's the thing. Truth, if possible, but peace, relevance, and worldly influence at all costs. Truth, if possible? Are you kidding me? No, truth, absolutely the truth. And you know what? When you're speaking the word of God, it doesn't always bring peace, does it? But it's very relevant in our society and in the days we're living in. So we have to be careful here with the wolves that are out there and not compromise what we believe, because we have seen so much happen in the church over the last 10, 15 years. It just breaks your heart. And it's interesting because if you've noticed, the Pope wants to unite the religions of the world together. I find that interesting. This is what he said in June of this year. Christians together can change the world. That was the message Pope Francis gave Wednesday to Catholic, evangelical, and Pentecostal leaders gathered for this year's John 17 retreat, encouraging them to continue on a path of unity. Together in love, we Christians can change the world. We can change ourselves because God is love, said Francis in a video message. Isn't that interesting that we can change the world, we can change ourselves, and God is love? Well, absolutely, God is love, but you know what? I can't change the world and I can't change myself. Only God can when I surrender to Him. And when He is working through us, yeah, the world can be changed, but it's God working through us. It's not me doing it. And here's the problem. How do you have unity with such a variety of different groups of people? You ignore the truth. You water it down, you ignore it. How do Protestants get involved in this stuff? They should know better. Did you know a recent poll by Probe Ministries, 70% of Christians believe other religions can lead to heaven too? 70%. What are they learning in church? What are they are they reading their Bible? Obviously not. It's a big deal. Did Jesus say, guys, I am a way? I got some truth. And, you want some life, I can give it to you. And if you want to give it to the Father, man, there's a lot of different ways. I'm just one of the ways, so whatever you want to choose. No, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. You see, how do you unite with the world religions when Jesus says something like that? You can't. But that's what's going on, and it's going on. I showed you before, Joel Osteen, Rick Warren, meeting with the Pope. Great guy. He's one of us. No, he's not. He believes in a salvation of works. And he doesn't even know if he's getting into heaven. He's probably got to go to purgatory, even though he's the Pope. I'm sure he's got to atone for some of his sins up in purgatory. So is that the same message that God has given to us, the gospel message? Absolutely not. So how do you unite with them? You don't. You love them and you bring them the gospel of Jesus Christ. But this is how quickly this one world religion is coming together now. The Pope is using climate change, COVID. He's using anything he can to get the religions of the world to join together into this global government. This is from the UN Climate Change Conference, where religious leaders came together. The Faith and Science Towards COP26 meeting brought together Christian leaders, including Archbishop of Canterbury, Justin Welby, and Orthodox Ecumenical Patriarch Bartholomew, as well as representatives of Islam, Judaism, Hinduism, Sikhism, Buddhism, Confucianism, all the isms were there. The faith leaders who have come here today represent around 3/4 of the world's population. Wow. That's a big number of people, right? And you get them to join together in a one world religion, look out. Look out. This is what Pope Francis said regarding this COVID outbreak and what they're using it for. He said, while many countries are now consolidating individual recovery plans, there remains an urgent need for a global plan that can create new or regenerate existing institutions, particularly those of what? Global governance, and help to build a new network of international relations for advancing the integral human development of all peoples. This necessarily means giving poorer and less developed nations an effective share in decision-making and facilitating access to the international market. Wow. Let me share with you what leaders around the world are saying about a global government that's being moved along by the global religious system. This is Amina Mohammed, Deputy Secretary General of the United Nations. He said, at this defining moment, we must reignite our efforts to keep the promise of the Sustainable Development Goals. Global Citizens Live demonstrates how we can come together to build a world where everyone thrives in prosperity on a healthy planet. That is all part of the United Nations plan to control the world through global government. Many of you are aware of Emmanuel Macron, president of France. Some seem to think that the current crisis is merely an interlude, that the vaccine will take things back to how they were. That is, I believe, a historical mistake. Our growth trajectories have generated highly inflammable inequalities within our very societies, consumed the planet's natural capital, and exacerbated pre-existing geopolitical tensions. Our answer must be a collective one towards new models. I thank global citizens for organizing this major event in Paris, from where I hope the entire world will hear this message. Let's act together to build a fairer and safer world. In other words, he's saying there's too many people in the world. You've got to get rid of them. Well, it should be, but no. Well, there's one more, too. Angela Merkel, German chancellor. The COVID-19 pandemic once again reminds us global crisis requires global solutions. We must act together to end the pandemic, and we must not forget those who are affected by extreme poverty and hunger. The UN Sustainable Development Goals are and will remain our compass for a better world. This is why in 2021, Germany will continue to actively work towards the achievement of the global goals. Again, that's what they're working towards, global government. And these are the leaders from the world. You know, it's interesting when you look at it, when President Trump was in office and Benjamin Netanyahu was in office in Israel, they were two patriots for their nations. And how were they attacked? From the very day they took office onward, they were attacked by their own people because they were patriots and not part of the global system. Now both of them have been removed. And now this global community can come together. And again, they will use a crisis, be it real or imagined, to promote their goals, to promote their cause. And the Antichrist will bring in or usher in the Antichrist as a world leader during the tribulation period. We won't be here. We may see the global government come into play. We won't see the Antichrist. But we may see this thing forming together. And I think we're seeing it before our eyes right now. You could look at Revelation chapter 13 and see how the Antichrist the false prophet ushers in the Antichrist. When a Protestant church believes, 70% of them believe that other religions could get you to God, something is wrong. That's why the church of Laodicea, the lukewarm church, where is Jesus in regards to that church? He's not inside the church, guys. He's outside and he's knocking to come in. Please open the door so I can dine with you and you with me. We use that for evangelism. It's not. That's the apostate church there. Or Jesus is knocking to get into the door. And the reason I put this, you know, one world government and one world religion together is because they are working so closely together. At one point, though, the Antichrist destroys the religious system. I don't think the false prophet he destroys, but the system, because he wants to be worshipped as God. He's done with what the religion has done. It's brought him as far as it could. Now he's totally in control. But make no mistake about it, guys. The Lord is coming back before the start of the seven-year tribulation period. And as the scriptures tell us, you know, maybe today, Maranatha, come Lord Jesus, right? Let's pray. Father, again, we thank you. There's so much information there, and it's overwhelming at times. But Lord, we know you're in control. And it's good to be aware of the things that are happening so we're not caught by surprise. And it's good to be aware of what's going on in the church today so we can earnestly contend for the faith that's been entrusted to us. Lord, help us to be witnesses of you. We thank you and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word, fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion, won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word.
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.